We have been exploring this idea. What's this idea that we're exploring? The idea that we're exploring is that if we abide in God, God is going to change us. So in these 40 days, we have been talking about enjoying God's presence. So we have prepared this 40 days of devotion. So if you have not done this yet, this is the final week. And it's not too late. You can go back to week one again. Yeah. And I want to encourage you to be part of the small group as well, because there is no such thing as traveling on your own. And last but not least, we are also expecting a spiritual renewal in your life. Because when we abide in God's presence, God is going to change us from the inside out. Can I get an amen for that? And normally, before we start the sermon, we always have the public reading of the word. And today, I'm going to invite my dear sister, Comfort, to lead in the public reading of God's word. Let us welcome Comfort Imovon. And can we all be standing up and we'll read God's word together. Thank you, Comfort.
So today's Bible reading will be from John 4, from verse 7 to 14. And it says, "When a Samaritan came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with you, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.'"
All right, thank you. Please be seated. And this is the Word of God. When you read a portion of this story, it goes all the way to verse 1 to verse 42. But in short, this story is about a Samaritan woman. We didn't read about it, but it was in the hottest time of the day. It was in noon that she would go and draw water. And the reason why she would go and draw water in the hottest day of time is because she didn't want to see anyone. She wants to be left alone. And Jesus was there. She had a brief encounter with God, had a brief encounter with Jesus. They had a few exchanges. They had conversation. And from there, her life was changed inside out, or some of you would say upside down. And here is the idea that we're going to discuss about today. The question that we have today is, what is it about Jesus that changes those who truly receive him? The truth is, many people have encountered Jesus, but only those who truly receive him, there is a transformation. We can see from the Bible, the woman at the well, there's a transformation that took place. Before, she was rejected, she was living in shame, which we will explore a little bit more a bit later. But after that brief encounter with Jesus, she became an evangelist. Not only that, we see this story about a tax collector in Zacchaeus. Same thing. He was a greedy man. Never enough. But after an encounter with Jesus, he gave up half of his possession and he followed Christ. We see the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee. He persecuted Christian. He was very religious. But when and after he encountered Christ, his life turned around and his life changed. So the question that we're going to explore today is what is it about Jesus that changes those who truly receive him? And there are three things I want to share with you today. Three things that Christ would do that would transform you from the inside out. Number one is that Christ reveals. Number two is Christ restores. And number three is Christ renews. And let's explore the first idea first. Christ reveals. And that he sees our true need and lovingly bring it to light. You see, true and lasting change only begins when Jesus lovingly reveals what's really going on in our hearts. What's really going on in our hearts? You see, we need to know what the real problem is before we can offer a solution. But our culture gives us a very different understanding or different definition of the problem, hence a very different solution. What do I mean by that? Now, generally speaking, if you feel tired, you get some rest, and a lot of you will start thinking about going on a holiday. Yeah, I'm tired, I go on a holiday. How about when I feel empty? Buy something, eat something, perhaps even binge a movie. I feel guilty. The culture of today will say, you know what, let's move on. There's no such thing as, you know, a big moral category. Everything is just relative. What you think is right is right. Is that right? Just move on. Or I feel worthless. If you feel worthless, guess what you have to do? You have to prove yourself. Study hard. Start a business. Achieve something. That you will feel good. But in that itself, do you know what it's saying? It is saying that I am my own savior. If I feel worthless, if I feel useless, I do something about my life. I achieve something so that I can feel good about myself. So in this message or in this culture of today, we are saying that you can save yourself. In order for you to be truly happy, the world will say you must look inside yourself for a solution. You must discover your true self. Hence, what we see in the world today is true. You heard of that phrase? You do you. Discover yourself. And very often, our culture today is promoting this very idea that salvation comes from within. Comes from within. But here's the thing. When you look at this scripture, God paints a very different picture. From this story, we can see the woman in the hottest of the day went and draw water from the well. So from the surface, she was looking for physical water, which is true. But what is the true need? What is the deeper need? Jesus saw that. Jesus didn't see that she needs to drink water. Because when Jesus had an encounter with her, they had a brief conversation. What was the conversation about? Jesus was there. The woman was there. Jesus then say, can I have a drink? The Samaritan woman then replied to Jesus, why would you ask me? Now, we need to understand a bit of cultural and historical context. During those times, these two groups of people, they do not talk to one another. Moreover, Jesus is a male and the Samaritan woman is a female. Also, in that culture, male and female don't really talk. So the Samaritan woman was caught by surprise. She said, why would you talk to me? Why would you ask me for water? The conversation continues. Jesus then say that if you truly know who I am, you will ask me for the living water. The conversation continues. From there, Jesus then say, you should go call your husband. The woman say, I don't have a husband. Jesus then prophesied over her and said that it is actually true. You had five husbands before. In fact, the one that you're living with right now is not your husband. You see, when you have an encounter with Jesus, when you open up your heart and truly having to have a conversation with Jesus, very soon you will discover God wants to reveal the true needs in your life. What was the true need in this woman's life? She had past broken relationships. She faced rejections. The fact that she had five husbands and the one that she's living with right now is not her husband. She's been looking for love in the wrong place. Her true need is the living water. So Christ reveals to her her true spiritual condition. I just wondering, what is our true spiritual condition today? You see, when Jesus show up, he doesn't just offer us shallow comfort like what you would tell your friend. You know what, mate? things are going to be all right, Daniel. It's okay. God is going to look after you. It's not just those shallow comfort or encouragement. But Jesus always speaks truth with love. He sees what's deep inside our heart, because real healing only comes when we get honest about real issue. It's a bit like a doctor, isn't it? In order for you to treat, you must have the right diagnosis. And very often, the reason why we didn't get the right treatment is because we did not have the right diagnosis. And the Lord reveals to the woman, the real challenge for you, the real problem for you is that you've been looking for meaning at the wrong place. You've been looking for love at the wrong place. And secondly, then it then says that Christ restores, is that He meets us in our brokenness and fills us with grace. The truth is that she had been going from relationship to relationship, trying to find love, trying to find identity, a sense of belonging. But every time, the well ran dry. It's a bit like this. It's like drinking salt water when you are thirsty. I think it was last year. We went to this place in Victoria. It's called a Pink Lake. I didn't know why it was a Pink Lake. It was organized by a friend of ours. So we drove for like hours. We drove for hours. Then we went to this place. I was promised a Pink Lake. I went there. It was all dry, Daniel. It was pink, but it wasn't a lake. And apparently that is actually a salt lake. So it was during the time of the year, the whole place is dry. And I think I did something quite silly. I'm pretty sure Isabel did something silly. We dug our finger in the salt. We can still feel a bit of a moisture. We actually then put it, we taste it. It's really salty. Have you ever felt thirsty and drink like seawater? It doesn't quite quench your thirst, isn't it? You know, sometimes life is a bit like this. This is what happens when we look for meaning in the wrong places. We try to quench our thirst with different things. We try to find our identity, our purpose, our meaning in different things in life. So the question I have for you today is this. Have you been running from well to well? What is the current well that you are digging? Is it the career? Is it relationships? Studies? Family? Even in a marriage? That itself is not wrong. Let me get this right. That itself is not wrong. But when a good thing becomes ultimate, that is when things will go a bit haywire. Why? Simple. Because nothing in this world will last. You can have the best marriage ever. But guess what? We're all human beings. We are frail. You can have the best career ever. Guess what? Retirement will still come. Only Christ and Christ alone. So what well have you been drinking from? I ask. What well have you been drinking from? Jesus then answered the woman. He said that everyone who drinks this water will never be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So what is this living water that Christ is talking about within the context for this woman? What is this living water that Christ is talking about? Now, the woman obviously had no clue because Jesus is speaking metaphorically now. Because the woman then asked Jesus, give me that living water. I want that water. What is this water that once I drink, I will never go thirsty again? So what is this water that Christ is offering the Samaritan woman? What is this living water that Christ is offering to you and I today? Now, for the Samaritan woman, this living water simply means it's a very first time someone would take the time and talk to her and see her as she is. That she is truly valued. She's truly loved. That she's truly treasured. And that Jesus sees her. Have you ever had a conversation with someone that you know that person is really, really there for you? I'm not talking about the how are you, hi, bye time. You know, we all have those moments. But I'm talking about those who are willing to just sit there and listen attentively to you. You feel loved. You feel valued. You feel treasured. What is the living water for that woman? Do you know why she would go in the hottest day to draw water? Because she was living with this stigma. She didn't want to see anyone. She was living with this shame. Because everybody knows in the society she had five husbands. And the one that she's living in right now is not her husband. She's trying to avoid the crowd. Sometimes in our life, when we have a pain or a shame or a guilt that we have not dealt with, we will do everything and we'll arrange our life in such a way we'll avoid the pain. What is the living water for her? That Jesus will remove that shame. That Jesus will remove that guilt. And it's the restoration of her. You see, the salvation is not from within. Essentially, this is the gospel. The gospel is this. You cannot save yourself. Tell the one next to you. You cannot save yourself. Essentially, that is the gospel. And I suspect, this is my sneaky suspicion here, that you know in your heart that you are not able to save yourself. If you are truly honest, no matter how strong, no matter how wealthy, no matter how rich you are, you know deep inside you, you cannot save yourself. And this is the living water that Christ is offering to the Samaritan woman. And Jesus offers living water. It's not about religion, no rules, no shame, no guilt. And when Jesus said, I've come to give an abundant life, life to the full, this is exactly what Christ meant. Is that in Christ alone, you find the meaning, you find your purpose, you find your destiny, you find all that you need in this life for you to proceed, to grow, and to flourish, and to thrive. Because anything else, like that salt water, will never bring true satisfaction. To the last point, Christ renews, that He transforms our story and sends us with purpose. First, we discuss about how God transformed us with His presence. It's first that God will reveal the true condition of our hearts. That Jesus will speak truth in love. And secondly, we then talk about Jesus will restore us from our past, and then your past will not define you. And then from there, the Lord renew us and send us for a purpose. In verse 28, it says that then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Sometimes when you read this verse, we think that it is just someone that's very excited, had a brief encounter with Jesus, decided to run back and talk to everyone. Remember, this is a woman who doesn't want to see anyone. This is a woman who avoids the crowd. This is a woman who is so filled with guilt and shame that she will hide herself. But after the brief encounter with Christ, she ran back to the very people she's trying to avoid and say, hey, check out this Jesus dude that I encountered. What a transformation. The Bible says that she left her water jar. That water jar represents her old life, her past identity, her shame. You know how good Jesus is? You see, when Jesus reveals our true condition, it's never to condemn us. It's never to shame us. God reveals our true condition so that, like a skilled surgeon, He could remove the tumor that is causing harm to our body. That God transformed, that God changed, and that she becomes someone new. True condition, restoration, and right now she is renewed. From avoiding people to inviting people. How good is that? From hidden in shame to sent with purpose. From broken to bold. From outcast to an evangelist. I wonder how many of us today will say, Lord, I want to have the relationship with you. In these 40 days of prayer and fasting, as we walk through this devotion, this, by the way, this is only a tool. This is only a tool for us to spend time with God, to get to know Him, and then from there, we want to see a transformation. And that transformation is not from us. Remember, we are not the Savior, but it's allowing God to expose what's in our heart, and then from there, letting God deal with us, changing us from the inside out. And that is what this 40 days is about. So what jar do you need to leave behind today? I believe none of us are here today by coincidence. The Lord is sovereign. And the Lord is true and living. As we come before His presence, as we expound on His word, the Lord is asking this question: what jar do you need to leave behind? For that woman, her jar, that water, that jar that she left behind and she ran back to the, that water jar is her shame. That water jar is a past identity that's holding her back. I wonder what jar do you need to leave behind today? You see, Jesus doesn't just save you from something. A lot of people think if we just say the sinner's prayer, everything will be fine. No. Jesus doesn't just save you from something. He calls you to something. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says you are a new creation. You are a child of God. You have a new identity in Christ. Embrace that. Embrace that. And I love this quote. One of my favorite authors, A.W. Tozer, this is what he said. No one can long dwell in the presence of God without being affected by it. Meaning to say, if you are close to the fire, you will always feel the warmth of the fire. Every child of God, every child of God will be transformed by His presence. You'll be more and more Christ-like. You bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You will grow to be more and more like Christ. And that is the Lord's exhortation and encouragement for us today. That in His presence will never be the same. So Christ reveals what's hidden, not to shame, not to wound, but to heal. Christ restores what's broken, not with rules, but with grace, the unmerited favor of God. And Christ renews what's lost, not by fixing us. This is what the culture tells us today. I Googled the 7 top motivational book or self-help book. Yeah, I read some of them to you. The moment I read it, you guys will be very familiar. Number one, who wants to give it a go? What do you think is number one? Stephen Covey, yeah? The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's what the world is telling you. Fix yourself. Work harder. Do more. Work smarter. Be more self-disciplined. Second, Dale Carnegie. Actually, I have these books too, so yeah. They are good books, yeah. Number two, how to win friends and influence people. Atomic Habits. This book offers a step-by-step guide to building good habits and breaking bad ones. You see? All the self-help, I suppose, that's why it's called self-help. Self-improvement. The gospel is, you cannot save yourself. But only Jesus, the Savior, can save you. Only Jesus, the Savior, can save you. So it's at the cross. Jesus was poured out so we could be filled out. Jesus was thirsty so we could have the living water. We now come to a time of communion. The conclusion of the sermon, in these 40 days, we have communion together. Communion is a time whereby we are inviting the people to come to the table to partake communion with the Lord. If you are a believer in Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we welcome you to partake this communion together. If you do not have the communion cup or bread, can you put up your hands? Our helpers will give one to you, and that includes myself. I need one too. Thank you, Dan. Yeah, thank you. That team over there. This is also a time for us to reflect on the Word of God. To reflect upon what you think God has spoken to you today. God is inviting you to have a relationship with Him. But this relationship only works if you are willing to follow Him. If you are willing to let Him expose what is truly underneath the surface. Some are thinking that, you know, I'm just tired. I often feel that way too. But how many of you know that just going on holiday is not going to fix all your tiredness? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Sometimes the tiredness is not the physical tiredness. Sometimes it's just that emotional, you're just tired. You can sleep the whole day and you still feel tired. In fact, after you sleep the whole day, you feel even more tired. And that's when Jesus said, come. Come and drink from this living water. You don't have to fix yourself. I'm going to give you a brand new you. The Spirit of the living God in you. In this communion, we're reminded that the Lord broke His body for us. This waffle, this bread is broken, which symbolizes the broken body of Christ. Christ was broken so that we are made whole. That is the good news. That is the good news. If you feel broken and wounded today, I invite you to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I give to you all that I am. Frail, broken, my shame, my guilt, my past, things that I can't even forgive myself. I come before you, Lord, because you said that by your stripes I am healed. So for the next 10 and 20 seconds, I want you to think about the broken body of Christ and the healing grace of God upon your life. That we shall partake this together in unity. Thank you, Jesus. Let us eat this bread together. this cup, this juice, represents the blood of Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Why do Christians talk about forgiveness so much? Because that is one of the deepest needs in every human being. Do you know that? Just imagine siblings, husband and wife, or friends. If there are tensions, things are not working out, guess what? You want to resolve it, right? You want to make it whole, right? Like, harmonious. But someone has to make a first move, isn't it? But there are certain things that no matter what we do, we cannot correct the past. And Jesus says, you know what? You can't, but I can. Because Christ is different from anyone else. He led a sinless life. He's a Son of Man. He's a Son of God. It's only through the shedding of His blood, not your blood, His blood, that is total, wholesome forgiveness of sin. So as we drink this cup, the Lord cleanses your heart. The Lord cleanses you. For the next 10, 20 seconds, let's just give thanks to the Lord for the blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blood, oh God. Let us drink together. About to sing our closing worship song. But before we do that, I want to speak to those